Okay. I do believe that we might, until additional research is done that proves it otherwise, be live.
Yay!
Yay!
Woohoo!
Huzzah!
Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics Season 3. This is a 5th edition homebrew Dungeons & Dragons campaign that will include a lot of Spelljammer elements eventually, just not the very beginning. We have the same players, but a brand new set of characters. And I will let them introduce themselves as we get into the thick of things in a little bit. But first of all, my name is Crash. My pronouns are he, him. And I'll be playing everything that isn't played by somebody else, including the laws of the universe. No pressure. No pressure at all. I have trained a whole 30 seconds on how to do this. I think I'm ready. Okay. So, getting right into the thick of things, because I warned everyone with about 20 minutes warning that I was going to do this. Dax.
Hi.
Hi. You just got bitten by a dragon.
I'm unconscious.
Oh, no.
Now, it's not a very big dragon, but it is a dragon. It has chomped you and picked you up off the ground and shook a little bit and then let go. So you are taking 7 points of damage.
I'm almost unconscious.
Okay, what does this look like, besides lots of blood?
The kobold's a little blue kobold, and kind of basic leather gear with a shield on his right arm, and a crossbow in his left, and he's panicking.
I don't see why. This is working out pretty good so far. Chroma, you're up.
It's okay. I can cast Cure Wounds. Sorry,
No, it's great.
Why are you sorry? This is great.
Wonderful.
Dax is spending his time panicking on the ground. Chroma is saying...
Oh, wait, was that an actual turn? My apologies.
Yeah, it's your turn.
That was an actual turn. Okay, then I'll use my staff to cure wounds on myself.
Okay, roll healing.
I get 5 hit points back.
Okay. Chroma, your turn.
I hit myself with my staff. I feel much better.
Don't make me make that.
When you know, when you see what the staff can do, you'll feel much better with it too.
Okay, you did it.
By the way, what's Chroma look like?
She's a quite small adult by now, barely but small kobold with black scales, and she's wearing half plate and carrying a shield. Which okay. She is waving around in a vaguely panicked manner.
Okay.
Okay. And on her other hand is a gauntlet, which
if
she...
If you tell me it has 5 gems in it, I'm going to be upset.
It does not.
You.
There are no gems.
Oh, no.
There are no gems involved. However, there is a little magic circle on the palm, which she points at... A miscellaneous object in the area. I don't know where we are yet.
And you're she in is a cave.
She points at a rock and tiny rock and casts catapult.
Okay. What happens?
A little glowy beam comes out of the thing on her palm and picks up the rock and hurls it at the dragon.
Okay.
And the dragon needs to make a dexterity save. DC 14.
I thought you said death saves here.
No.
Wow. It's like, wow,
yet.
That was super.
That's a different edition.
Dex.
Oh. That is an 11.
All right. The dragon will take 3d8 bludgeoning damage.
3d8? You're
that's a lot of damage.
Yes, but you gave us our choice of magical items.
Yes, you did.
This is also true. This is also true, and I didn't really limit what you could get, other than I said no artifacts or decks of cards.
This is a spell. I'm an artificer. Everything I cast is done through what appear to be magic items.
Also true.
This is just this one of the spells I prepared today.
Okay. And looks so like that's... you're doing 8 points of damage, correct?
Yes. 8 okay. Bludgeoning damage.
All right. I will note that down. Next up is going to be someone who didn't put their name in Discord, so I have to look it up, like, an actual DM checks his notes. What's wrong with
that? You know who this is.
Zax.
Yes.
What would you...
Okay.
Who are you and what would you like to do?
Okay, so Zax is a blue kobold barbarian, and she's a kind of... I mean, she's a girl, but she's kind of gruff and strong. And she would like to swing her hammer of thunderbolts at the dragon.
Because I did not limit the magical items you could equip.
We have didn't limit it, I asked you.
With, no, I love this. I love this, but I'm saying this for the sake of the recording. Also,
oh, good,
because
yes.
I get to say this again. We have a level 1 kobold with a legendary magical item, a hammer of thunderbolts. An item that's so powerful, you have to equip 2 other magical items in order to be able to use it.
Yep. That's what she's doing.
Tell them what it gives her to her strength.
It's all together. There's like a, if I'm reading the number right, it's a 25.
Yeah. Strength of 25. You have a +7 modifier at level 1.
Yes.
Yeah. And yet, I still consider this campaign to be balanced. If this does not send a shiver down your spine.
Yeah, watch as they grow, man. Wow.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay, so, let's see. I'm trying to figure out, I've never used this before as a player, so I don't know what I'm doing.
You could simply swing to hit, or you could use one of its charges.
Well, let's hit it first and see how it takes it. Okay, or is the charge does the charge go with the hit, or is it separate from the hit?
You can use a charge to make a ranged attack. But if you're just going to swing it, roll a d20 and add 10.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I got an 18 on the dice, +10.
So you got a 28 to hit.
Level 1 character, oh my gosh.
This is...
Roll again to see if
she's tough.
Stop me if you've heard this one. that is above the dragon's armor class.
Wow. Okay,
so
cool.
Your
Jen,
damage...
roll again to see if you get a 20.
Roll again to see if I get a 20? Okay.
No. Did you raise?
Tactics.
I got a 19.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I got a 19. So add one more, I guess.
By the way, we've been recording for less than 10 minutes. And I already forgot the name of the show was Pack Tactics. So that you can
yes.
hold advantage.
I forgot about that too.
The core component of having an all kobold party for which this entire campaign and its predecessors are named. And it slipped my mind within 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we straightened that out.
Yes,
all right.
So your bingo card, people.
Yeah. All right, okay. So the second roll was a 19, but that's still going to work
but
pretty good.
But 20 still hit.
Yeah.
So 2d6 plus 8.
Yes.
2d6 plus 8. I got a 5 and a 4 plus 8.
Did you say 17. You were raging?
I didn't say it. I should have.
Yep. I realized you hadn't said you were going to rage, but you're also level 1. So we can just say, as a barbarian, you forgot to get angry. You had your opening day jitters.
Right. Well, either that or the idea of hitting this dragon with this giant weapon is so much fun that I'm not angry yet.
So what was the total damage again?
Let's see. I rolled 2d6. I got a 4. And whatever. What she said.
5 plus 4 plus 8.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you smack this dragon upside the head, solid bits of stuff fly out of its mouth. You're pretty sure they're teeth.
Whoa.
And go scattering across the cave floor.
Wow.
Uh-oh. Chroma's interested. what are you up to?
How big is the cave we're in?
It's a good 50 feet across. Almost cylindrical with a dome at the top.
Okay. I'm Ellie, she, her. Neri is a blue kobold, she, her, ranger. And she says there aren't even supposed to be dragons in this part of the world, and fires an arrow.
Okay. Roll to hit.
That's not my character sheet.
Uh-oh.
I was looking at yours.
Oh, no. Big difference, yeah. That would make
Feel
a difference.
Feel the DM's pain. Feel the DM's pain. The last session that we broadcast for kobolds, I was looking at Tiamat stats for the Tarrasque. I mean, that's a whole big slip-up. Can't believe I did that. Okay,
26 is my best roll.
Okay, that hits. Roll your damage.
For 7 damage.
Okay. You fire an arrow into the air. It comes down. You know where. It came down, like, right through where the lung should be on this dragon. And it embeds up to the fletchings. Cool. Its front right leg, arm, whatever you want to call that on a dragon, starts moving weird. Like, it can't control it very well. And last but not least, Zenosha.
I'm Cindy, she, her pronouns. I'm playing Zenosha, a level 1 kobold with magical armor that somehow still seems to have bits of moss in certain spots because she's tried to collect them and isn't very good about keeping them, and possibly has a mushroom growing on her nose, though that's probably going to be at later levels because she likes mushrooms, circle of spores.
What's Zenosha doing?
I don't want to hit the other kobolds, but I do want to hit the dragon. Can I make a 120-foot line that's just the dragon, from me to the dragon, and nothing else beyond the dragon or between us?
I'm going to roll a d6. On a 1 or 2, the answer is no. Okay, so the answer is no. I rolled a 2 on a d6. So you can do this, but you're probably going to hit the barbarian.
All right, not doing that then. So, in that case, I'm going to trust my floating animated shield and my super leather armor, and I'm going to close to make a melee attack.
All right, well, with a 24, stop me if you've heard this one before, you hit.
To get a 24, I would have had to roll a nat 20.
Yeah, that's true. That's a crit.
Okay, so you crit.
So this is just the base damage. I have one of the staff's special abilities that's also going to be coming up. Just need to double check. I don't know how I rolled max on both those.
Okay, well, with max damage, now what are you hitting it with again?
I was planning on hitting it with my staff of thunder and lightning so that I can make it take an extra 2d6 of lightning damage afterwards.
We have two Thors in this game, and I'm appreciating this very much so. I really appreciate
this. Is this a bad time to say that the cantrip I took is shocking grass?
No. This is fantastic.
We have moved from a pyromaniac group to a group of aspiring electricians.
Yeah.
As the person in this campaign who has done actual work as an electrician, where I've wired houses and rewired old houses, I am here for this content. Also, if you touch the black wire and the white wire at the same time, it's very tingly. Don't do that. That's a bad thing.
I also have done work as an electrician, and I am terrified of any electrician who can generate their own electricity.
Oh, yeah. Hey, my electricity comes from the stick.
Okay, so you smack this thing with your mighty stick, and that's a quote that'll end up on social media, I'm sure. And the head falls off, and the wings fall off. The one arm is still moving, weird.
I wondered.
The rest of it has stopped moving altogether, and the whole thing falls over, and there are gears rolling everywhere.
We broke it! Woo!
And the
I'm gonna go look at the gears.
The one door to this chamber opens up, and a very old gnome with a cane sort of hobbles in and goes,
"Okay, I appreciate you helping me out, testing this, but do you have any idea how long it took me to put that together the first time?"
In fairness, it almost ate me.
Well, yeah, I was told to make it be realistic.
Yeah, so we cut its head off.
No, you hit it with a stick and the head fell off.
Close enough.
Anyway, Chroma, I'm gonna be asking you to help me put this back together again next week. You know that, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, come on, let's go. The circle wants to talk to you.
Sorry, what Cindy just said in chat.
I don't know the reference, but it's an amusing phrase on its own.
Yes, it is.
It's not a reference.
Oh, it's not. It's just, okay, cool.
All machines fear the stick. It's up there. Cindy has some really good quotes. Like, my mothers wouldn't have gone down without a fight. They taught me everything I know about punching.
That was a good one.
Yes.
Yep.
You've got some zingers. So, you have been in a testing chamber that is underneath Meepo's farm, which is still called Meepo's Farm, even though Meepo has not lived there in years.
Years, yeah.
Neither does... There aren't supposed to be dragons in this part of the world.
Yeah. many of you don't live here. There's a few of you that grew up in Faerun, near a different group of kobolds or two. But a lot of the different clans that were out there over multiple worlds have sort of come together to form kind of like a League of Nations or something like that, only with actual political power. I mean, they do more than send strong-worded letters that everyone ignores. because the world has become... The worlds have become a much... Yeah, and Archbeth and Chad is saying, they can send a dragon, yes, but shh, they're trying not to let people know that. they could actually, if they really wanted to, send two.
Yep.
That's a thing. Or three.
One of them's a god.
Well, he's sort of given up that moniker, but never mind about that. With that said, the various clans have come together, and, well, he had to wear a golden gauntlet with a bunch of gems in it, and it didn't match the rest of his outfit. He's a rogue. He's not supposed to be wearing leather armor, but never mind. or metal armor, whatever. So the various kobold clans have gotten together and formed something of a council to not so much deal with internal disputes, but deal with external threats. And it's worked pretty well. They call themselves the Circle of Tales. Because if you have a bunch of outside threats that are coming at you, forming a circle with your tails in the middle is kind of like circling the wagons. You are able to defend yourselves and the people around you much more easily. And that's worked out pretty well. Oddly enough, Tess has done pretty well for themselves as one of the representatives for the council. They weren't so good as just the leader of the Chipped Claw. They were actually pretty lousy at it, but they've discovered a wonderful ability called delegating, which can go either way, but they're apparently pretty good at finding the right kobolds to do the right task, which streamlines everything. But if they're put in charge of everything, not so good. If they're put in charge of finding other people to be in charge of things, they do a pretty good job. Now, some of the clans will send, like, if they're closer, they have the leader of that clan be on the council. Some of them send a representative. For example, the Rotfoot clan, they didn't send their clan leader to be on the circle. They sent Gallic instead. So one of the circle members is an animated kobold skeleton. But, you know, they don't judge. Well, actually, they do judge a lot, but not in this particular case. And one of the things that the council does is they send kobolds off to do various things, which are for the betterment of kobold kind, for the most part. Again, not so much internal squabbles or anything like that, but if something's threatening kobolds in general, they will often deal with that. And they've had to do that a lot. There's big things that they'll send the high-level kobolds out for. There's little things that they'll send lower-level kobolds out for. Right now, the biggest heavy hitters that are in the Coomridge area kind of have their hands full because Coomridge is somewhat kind of under siege by a large number of orcs. You're holed up well, but they've tried to get through the walls bordering the swamp on more than one occasion. And
so
every now
how
and
many
then,
orcs did Mom set on fire?
Most kobolds can't count that high, and you haven't had time to build the calculation machine that you wanted to figure out for sure. You're pretty sure that you heard her laughing from where you were, which was a 3 days journey away. It gave you a warm, fuzzy feeling. But never mind about that. And it just so happens that the group of kobolds that have just totally ruined Fiddle Punch's Clockwork Dragon have never gone on a mission, but you've been told that you're about to be sent on one. And you are currently heading towards, unless you tell me you're doing something else, you are currently heading towards the council chambers to find out what that's going to be.
Sure, let's
I'm
find
excited.
out.
I'm excited. The rest of you are excited too, right? This is going to be great. I'm going to finally get to stress test everything I've been working on.
Sax is like rubbing her head like, oh god, here she comes again.
And Archbreath is just typing ha 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 in chat, and I'm here for this content. Tonight I've been saying I'm here for this content like every 2 minutes or so. Because it's true. I am really looking forward to everything that's going to happen, including as you enter the council chambers. Imagine, if you will, the Senate from the Star Wars movies.
Oh, wow.
But on a kobold scale and underground. So it's this huge chamber that has just rows and rows and rows of seats carved out of the rock. Possibly through magic, because there's multiple kobolds who can do that at this point. This is fairly low below the surface, and it would have to be because of how high this chamber roof goes. But everything in here is for kobold scale. As usual, there is a small place of honor that's set up over to the side with a table and a lot of books where the circle's designated scribe takes notes dutifully about everything that's taking place. This is a small kobold that most of you recognize, who goes by the unfortunate moniker of Bitey.
Oh! Bitey! Hi!
Oh, hi! Oh, wait, no, I gotta write that.
Bitey has never actually gotten over their habit of chewing through things, unfortunately. And this is made evident by the fact that they have, next to their inkwell, they have a very large jar that just has a whole bunch of pens in it. Because every time there's a pause, they don't have to write something down, they tend to chew on the end of the pen and have bitten through multiples. Matter of fact, there is a wastebasket next to the table with some broken pens sticking out of it. It looks like it's been a very busy day.
And we gotta get this dude a cuddlebone for Christmas.
It's a good thing that kobolds never stop growing their teeth. They're kind of like sharks in that way. And next to Bitey is a very large person in what appears to be a very fancy military uniform with several medals on the chest that are hanging down. And...
oh my.
Cindy, if Zenosha doesn't have inspiration already, give them inspiration now.
Thank you.
For that gif. That is such a wonderful, unfortunate event. But it's not a series of them. It's just one. There are others that happen. With that said, so this very large person appears to be in a full military outfit, dress uniform. You don't recognize the military, but it's got epaulets and the medallions, like I said. And they've got strange pockets on their belt that are all over the place. One of them appears to sort of half hide some object that is mechanical in nature. Chroma, I will not require a perception check for you to immediately notice that there's something mechanical that's on his belt. And this person is very unusual, not for the military outfit in particular, because the council has members from multiple worlds and they have multiple fashion styles. So, you know, whatever, not going to judge, whatever floats your boat. But this very large person also appears to be a hippo.
Hmm.
Oh, wow. A diplomat? Are you here to talk to the council, too? What's that on your belt?
Oh, this is my sidearm. Every good gift would not be caught dead without a sidearm. I mean, what if we need to shoot something?
Shoot?
Yes.
So it's like a crossbow?
Whoa. Nothing so crass as a crossbow. No, this uses a small amount of smoke powder to send a heavy projectile, usually lead, but sometimes adamantine, if it can be purchased, towards a topic of our choosing.
Zenosha starts politely nodding like three words in, obviously not paying attention.
And usually, if we are quite lucky and we get a headshot, pow, their head explodes. It is glorious. There's blood and guts everywhere.
It sounds glorious.
You need Melora.
Her ideas.
And Gallic, who is seated, like one tier behind this conversation, just sort of coughs politely into his hand. And it's obvious that he's just trying to get your attention because he's a skeleton. He doesn't have the need to cough.
Excuse me, but if we could get to business here.
Oh, right. Business.
Yes.
Yes.
It just so happens that I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Lieutenant Commander Hollins.
Yes. This Mr.
Lieutenant Commander. I have a rank. You will use it.
Mm-hmm. And who's asking for help here?
Oh, I am.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. Well, in any case, Lieutenant Commander Hollins is in a bit of a pickle. And he kind of asked for help. And turns out we can give it.
We can? Well, we specifically can.
Well, you can. I'm kind of busy today.
What kind of help?
Well, I'm not really from here, you may have gathered.
Yeah, and we kind of figured that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes. I know a lot of kobolds who aren't from here.
But not very many,
non-kobolds.
Yes, I am aware. You see, I prefer to be on a ship with my comrades, only there was a bit of a kerfluffle, and in the chaos that ensued, I may have somehow ended up inside one of the escape pods, which in itself is embarrassing, but not necessarily tragic.
You lost your ship.
Well, no, I know exactly where the ship is. It is currently on the other side of your moon, and
what?
I would... Yes.
Wait.
Did I leave that part out? I may have left
Fiddle
that part.
Fiddle Punch is going to love this, and so am I.
This ship Fiddle and Punch, escape that's... pod weren't in the water?
Fiddle Punch, he's the small person with the cane, like a whole lot, and stars and stuff. Yes, I have already spoken with him. Yes. It turns out he does not actually have the technology to go that far. He said that the most he can do is a low circulating orbit, which I suppose is groundling speak for not as far as you want to go.
Yeah, a low circulating orbit is... Sorry.
Oh, that actually was me clearing my throat.
Oh. So what are we being sent to do exactly? We can't get there.
If Fiddle Punch doesn't have the tech, What are we supposed to do? Fly you up there on a magic carpet? No.
Didn't Zeely put something in orbit?
Yeah, she put a firebolt up there.
It's why we have two suns now.
It's not that bright, but it's pretty bright. In any case, Fiddle Punch doesn't have the tech, but he has enough tech to find out if there's more tech. If you follow.
Is the answer yes?
Mm-mm. We're using the tech to find more tech.
Yeah, there's nothing on Circulus that can help.
Maybe Faerun?
Yep, you're following.
Oh.
About 2 days' travel from Morning Lord, he thinks he found something. And we need a bunch of kobolds to go check it out.
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to see whatever it is.
It's handy.
You don't know what it is.
I know I'd love to see it.
It's helpful because you and I know the terrain as well.
Right. Well, then we won't be delaying. We can head off right now.
Oh, you're coming with?
I assumed I would be going with you as this is my rescue.
If you're going with us, can I ask you more questions about your sidearm?
Oh, certainly. I'm surprised you weren't asking about the grenades.
Grenades?
Ah, yes. They're very much like a sidearm, but they contain their own smoke powder and a lot of fragments of all kinds of horrible things that get in all the worst places.
Can I just walk over
to the teleportation circle?
Yeah, I was going to say, can I just walk over and start tugging at his cloak or whatever and just try and drag him along to the teleportation?
Yeah.
Come on, this way.
Right. Whatever. I want to check out the mushrooms on Faerun.
Okay. All right. Well, this is jolly good.
And
I can't wait.
I can't wait to show you the rocket launcher.
Oh no, I don't have a rocket launcher. No, we only mount those on the sides of the ship. They are very, very fun to fire off. Sometimes we do it just without even a target.
Ooh.
That's a waste of ammunition.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you they hit something out of eventually.
Oh.
That's just dangerous.
Oh, but it's all jolly good fun. All right, so where are we going?
To the teleportation circle. So
come on, come on. You can tell me more about the grenades on the way.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. I will be thrilled to regale you with stories about all the times that I nearly died by not quite counting to three. Apparently, I keep skipping to five. It's a habit.
Malora, give me strength.
Star Trek sound effect.
Okay. So, time skip. You've been given a map, kind of, sort of. The area that you're going doesn't have a lot of recent looks at the topography. So, for most of the journey, you're going to be able to do it pretty easily. But then you get to a part where, instead of directions, it's really just a picture of a stick figure kobold shrugging.
Oh, no.
But you don't get that for a day and a half. For the first day and a half, you got very clear directions.
On Earth, we got here there be dragons. In kobold maps, it's here there be we don't know.
Yeah.
No. The shruglands.
Would you like to utilize the magic carpet for this?
Well, with the ability to fly, that's why it's only a day and a half.
Ah, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Otherwise, it'd be over hill, under dale, over the river, through the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to grandmother's house.
I'll probably be sitting on the edge working on a wood carving, trying to let the shavings off fall off of the carpet.
Okay.
I'll be on
get it on the carpet. I just had this thing reupholstered.
How heavy is the GIF?
Oh.
Good question. I should
look. The carpet can take up to 800 pounds.
The carpet can take up to 800 pounds. I'm figuring we're about a buck a piece.
Yeah, I'm 27.
Okay. A GIF is still considered a medium humanoid.
Okay.
So I'm going to say...
Right. And three of us is considered one humanoid.
But, so he's medium, but he's also incredibly wide.
Oh.
I'm going to share his image again in chat just because I love the character art for the GIF. I'm going to say this is exactly what he looks like.
Okay.
And you're doing well until right around brunch time on day two of your journey. You wouldn't think, scientifically this doesn't make sense, but because you carried your food with you. But as he finishes eating, that's when the carpet starts to go closer and closer and closer to the ground.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't what it's supposed to do. Maybe I can do something. I don't know if I can do something.
Carpet's I should not have had that third scone.
This is what happens when I carry things in my bag of holding.
You're brushing the tree tops.
Oh my god, put him in the bag. Put him in the bag.
I dare say I'm not going to fit in that bag. It doesn't quite open wide enough. Also, I've seen those before. I know they only have 10 minutes of good air.
I'll look for a clearing.
You found one. It's right underneath the trees that you've gone through.
Okay.
I'll try and land those.
Okay. So you are now in the middle of the woods. You can see a trail that's off to the side, but you didn't actually land on the trail. And a bunch of small, furry things all scurry off as you crash through the trees to land.
Understandably.
That seems reasonable. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Upon landing, I wrap up the carpet, and while Dax is wrapping it up, he's just mumbling under his breath. You're a big son.
Okay. Well, the lieutenant commander doesn't seem concerned at all so much about this. Right. Well, we've established a beachhead. We should probably head off and search for whatever strange technology and gizmos this fiddle punch character has said is in the area. So, let me see the map here.
Are we in the shruglands?
This appears to be a forest of some kind. Yes. Yes, I can make that out clearly. Now, to find where that is on the map.
We're in the shruglands, aren't we?
Well, there's a small draconic-like creature drawn on the map here that appears to be shrugging.
Yep,
that or it is only half-heartedly surrendering. In which case, I would argue that we should let loose a volley of artillery just to make sure that they are completely surrendering and not only half-heartedly.
How about we let Chroma look at the map again?
Okay. Sure. Here you go.
I take it we're in the Shruglands?
And I love that it's just being called the Shruglands now.
Why not? Why not? That's such a kobold thing, though, is to rename stuff, you know?
Sure. I mean, you've got worst birds and better frogs,
right?
And Shruglands. Mm-hmm. It works.
Shruglands. Why not?
And I love that the other campaign just calls them potatoes, but never mind.
Right, yeah. Well, they were not kobold, so. Well, you know.
And part of that is because I said they looked like a potato, but never mind.
Yeah.
So that's give fine. Me a survival check to see if you can figure out where you are.
Can I assist with that?
Oh.
Because I know the area.
Sure.
Yeah, allow me. Please assist with that. Well, my wisdom modifier is minus one.
Oh, no.
You know the area for the first day, but you've been going for almost a day and a half now.
Okay. So it's new to all of us.
I mean, I'm good with tracking. I can probably figure it out.
But you can still assist, which allows the roll to be at advantage.
I'm literally a ranger whose favorite terrain is forests. Allow me, please.
Yeah,
here, have the map.
It's almost as if there's a
forest.
Reason why they picked you.
I'm not good with forests at all. I'm good with, like,
so
the
assistance means I roll
forest.
At advantage, right?
Yes, because either way, I'm going to help. Whoever's got the map, I'm helping.
That's a 26 and a 15.
Well, the 26 is kind of low, but I'm going to allow it. Okay, so yes, you are right in the middle of the Shruglands. There seems to be a something that's off to the northwest, but there's a lot of question marks about what it might be in the notes in the legend, where it might be a mountain, it might be a crevasse, it might be a croissant. You're not sure about that last one. It's possible whoever wrote this map did not know the language fully.
If it's a croissant, I call dibs.
Let's head northwest, then.
Okay.
I'm going to get my bearings and start leading the party.
All right. Gotta follow.
All right. We have not yet been playing for a full hour, but the DM has something that he needs to step away from the computer to do real quick. So would you mind taking a five-minute break?
Sure.
Okay.
I suppose.
Okay, we'll be right back. Wrong button!
Oh,
why
no.
Do we even have that button?
I don't know. Ask OBS. They're the ones who put it in there.
Comedic effect.
Probably. Okay. So, like I said, you're in a small clearing in the woods in the middle of the Shruglands. You can see a path off to the side, but you're not on a path.
Which direction does it go?
It appears to go north-south.
Let's follow the path for a little bit.
Okay.
And then we might have to veer off.
Okay. So you start walking on the path, and at first it seems, well, humans would say that the woods is really creepy and spooky. There are some areas that are incredibly dimly lit, because the canopy is quite dense in places.
Mm-hmm.
But you're kobolds, so it's actually cheerfully. It makes you think of home. In
nice and dark.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Can I ask a quick question?
If I can give a quick answer.
Is this like a travel path, or is it like a game trail?
Yes. It looks like it may have started off as a game trail, but it may have been aftermarket widened to make it be used by things other than game.
Okay, but there aren't like deep wagon ruts or anything like that.
Oh, no, you don't see any wagon ruts, but you do see a cursory glance shows you some footprints and some hoof prints.
Okay. So people and horses have been here, or mules, or whatever.
Possibly.
But it's not a busy path.
Yes.
Okay.
A nature or survival check would reveal more, but cursory glance, that's what you see.
I haven't been thinking about running a nature check this whole time.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I have much of one.
What's a 23 give me on a nature check?
I love that these are level one characters. We have so many rolls above 20 already.
Yeah, already.
I love this so much. Okay, so yes, you definitely see footprints.
Oh, sorry, that's your survival check.
Well, I'm giving the same information for both.
Okay.
Dax, unfortunately, you see footprints and hoofprints. And you're like, yeah, there's hoofprints and footprints here. Zenosha, forgive me, I'm slowly trying to learn the new character names. So Zenosha and Neri, you notice that the footprints are of a variety of sizes, not all of which are medium. Most are smaller than that. And the hoofprints are of a two-legged animal.
Do any of you know of a creature with hooves that walks on two legs?
I don't think so.
Would we?
I don't know. Would you?
Would I maybe came across anything in the temple through my readings?
Give me a nature check at disadvantage. Unless you're a ranger, and then just normal nature check.
Fawns or goatmen, maybe. I've run into some weird fairies in the forest.
With a 12 dax, you don't have a big clue about what it is.
A horse that's had two legs cut off?
I mean, that's better really than weird. I was going to suggest. I mean, it's still horrible.
Tiefling have actual
weird.
Do tiefling have actual feet?
Tieflings? They tend to.
Yes.
This is in character.
I've never looked in one's boots.
Drenai maybe. Just wear leg warmers.
Maybe some weird, maybe some fairies. That's all I can think of. In which case, it might be a good idea to get off the path.
Maybe someone cast Alter Self on themselves, and I don't know.
Well, this is why we were using the carpet, but someone made that impossible.
Yes, I should say that you should probably speak to whoever sold you that carpet and demand your money back, for it clearly does not have the capability of holding an appropriately equipped party of adventurers.
I give him the dirtiest daggers humanly possible.
How thick are the trees in the undergrowth?
There's not so much undergrowth here. It's mostly overgrowth because there's a dense canopy above you, which prevents a lot of light from hitting the ground for things to grow on the ground.
And the trees aren't particularly thick because they want room to themselves.
Well, there's some skinnier trees. There's some thicker trees. They're all growing up pretty high.
I mean, thick as in, like, density on the ground.
Yeah, they're spread out a bit.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that we go about 100 feet to the west and then follow the shape of the path north.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, all right.
But I'll be keeping my eye out on the surrounding environment just in case.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't like or trust that path, having examined it.
Okay.
Okay.
So you continue through the woods parallel to, but not adjacent to, the path.
Right.
Okay. As you continue to follow near it, the path goes through the woods and descends along a ridge line. So you end up, unfortunately, having the choice of staying off the path or following it down the side of a ridge. And this is where I start to quote things directly from the adventure that we're playing.
Okay.
Is there a cliffside, or
it's not so much a solid, like, cartoony, here's the right angle of the cliff and it goes down, but the ground gets particularly steep so that you wouldn't feel comfortable walking anywhere other than the very top of it or the path.
Dax, can you take me up on the carpet so that we can see what's going on in that depression?
Yes, I can. And I flip to the carpet.
Okay. Good news. You see trees.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's what I always wanted.
It's the scene from the Ralph Bakshi Hobbit where Frodo goes up over at the top of the trees and it's beautiful. Also, you don't see anything other than treetops.
Okay.
You can barely make out where the ridge is because the trees are slightly lower where the ridge is. But otherwise, it's just trees.
I can take us in closer if you want.
No. What's to the west?
Trees.
Trees, okay.
I'm sensing a lot of trees.
Okay, we're going to have to follow the path down, I think. All right, take us back
in. Wonderful. I do so.
And while they were gone, Zax is like staring at our large non-kobold friend with her arms crossed, just looking at him because she doesn't trust him.
He seems to have pulled out a pair of comically small binoculars and he's looking off in the distance. Aha! Just as I suspected.
Ooh.
There are trees all around us.
Yes!
Has anyone ever given you an award for how observant you are?
Why, yes, I have three of them, as you can see. And he motions to several of the medals that are on his chest.
Wow.
Okay. Against my better judgment, let's take the path down.
Okay.
Didn't you say that we were going to something that might be a mountain or a crevice or a croissant?
Well, that is what the notes on the map say. I do not
write them. We found a crevice.
Quite possibly. Or it might just be a single ridge line.
It's difficult to tell from, as weird as it is to say it, up here.
Okay. So, your path through the woods descends along a ridgeline, with the trees crowding together, and the canopies, well, it's been dense the entire time. You're not quite sure that you could truly reason with it, because it's just not listening. It's dense.
Yep.
The ground in this area appears to be littered with fallen nuts. Tree trunks are coated in thick patches of fungus, and there's a musty smell in the air.
That sounds like Zenosha's.
Do forests normally smell like this?
Sometimes.
Okay, now, good.
Now, while most of this forest is looking pretty gloomy, there are, and as, again, someone with visual arts background, I love this picturesque moment, there are vivid sunbeams breaking through the canopy in various spots. And because of the spores and dust and mist that's in the air, it's illuminating the sunbeams so you can see them coming down, and it's very pretty looking.
I'm going to pause and help Zenosha gather things like nuts and mushrooms and fungus.
Okay.
All right. You have a particular plan, or?
No.
Just going to say, this looks interesting. Here you go, Zenosha.
I know she's been looking for mushrooms and
okay.
Thank you.
This is the kind of place where we're going to find a bunch of them, cuz I have a feeling it's starting to get swampy, which means we have a black dragon to look forward to.
I would not. Okay.
Yes, you would.
I would.
You absolutely
would in all
heartbeat.
And I mean, there probably are a bunch of dragons on planet now, considering.
Could be.
Oh, no, wait, we're not on that planet. I keep forgetting we're on a different planet
different
already.
Different one.
Yeah, you're in Faerun right now.
Yeah.
And responding to Chroma's earlier question, the water table is probably higher here, which means the amount of water in the soil is higher. So there's a lot of additional moisture that allows the bacteria that contribute that allows the decay to accelerate. Because I don't know if we actually have germ theory on Circulus yet.
Oh.
basically, in forests, more water equals more decay. So we might start seeing some swamps, but we should be pretty safe. I'm not sure at this point that I would go too far off the path without being prepared for it.
Okay.
So with that said, as you are looking around for mushrooms, you find you're finding little mushrooms here, little mushrooms there, fungus here, fungus there. That's moss. No, that's not something that's interesting. That's just moss. But here's an interesting looking mushroom. Here's one that you're pretty sure if you eat it, you get one up. You don't know what that means. But you've been told that in books, that you get one up. It means you go to the next life.
Does it make you float?
Oh. Yes. Actually, that mushroom is pretty big. That is...
If I don't recognize it, I'm going to take out my book that Marwise gave me a long time ago. I know that was for Circulus mushrooms, but it's still my best resource.
Okay. This mushroom is larger than you, and it is growing out of the side of a tree.
Cool. I like it.
That's an impressive mushroom.
If I think it's safe, I might want to sleep under it.
And I did not add this for Zenosha's benefit. I do like adding elements that match with the likes and dislikes, sometimes specifically dislikes, of the characters. But in this case, it's written into the adventure.
Cool.
So I did have to add it. The gif is totally mine, though. Okay, so it's a very large oak tree that this mushroom's growing out of. And you're looking through the book. Give me a nature check at disadvantage.
Disadvantage, okay.
Yes.
Can I assist to
counteract
that?
For this, I'm going to say no, only because Zenosha is specifically looking through a specific book.
Okay.
All right, and my nature is a plus 3, so that's a total of 17.
You got a 14 and a 14. Okay, yeah. with a 17, yeah, that's not right. This mushroom has a lot of similarities with my conids, which are sentient mushrooms, but they don't tend to grow out of oak trees. They don't tend to grow out of trees. They tend to be, like, they tend to walk around on their own and live in colonies. This is by itself, and it's growing out of a tree. That's not quite right.
Yes. So, guys, I'm not sure if this is right, but this looks more like a mushroom person than a mushroom, but it shouldn't be stuck on a dead tree like this, if that's the case.
Should we ask it if it's okay? I mean, maybe it's injured or something.
I don't know how to talk to mushroom people. Do you know how to talk to mushroom people?
I can talk to the mushroom person.
No, please don't.
You can't? No.
It's as simple as walking up and talking to it. I mean, clearly they would speak common. What kind of civilized individual does not speak common?
No.
I'm waiting to see what he does at this point. Like, go for it.
I mean, it's worth a try.
I'd rather one of us,
that's a spirit,
kobolds, than him.
I'm ready to shoot something in case he makes a hostile.
Okay, before he has a chance, I'm going to try to approach the mushroom and say, hello, are you okay? Are you
what
injured?
Language do you speak?
Just comic, draconic, druid, and dwarvish.
Well, what language do you speak in?
You gotta pick one.
Okay, so I probably start off in druidic because it's a long shot, but probably my best shot. And if it doesn't respond after hello, are you okay? I'll give it a beat and repeat in common.
Okay. So as soon as you ask, two eyes open, not on the mushroom, but on the oak tree. And a mouth opens, and it screams at you.
Oh, no.
Oh,
make
no.
a constitution saving throw.
Everybody?
All of us?
No, only people within 5 feet. So that's just going to be Zenosha.
Oh, no.
11?
Okay, you get a face full of spores.
Oh.
That's rude. Didn't anybody tell you that that's rude? You don't just scream at people. We're
no,
trying to make friends.
On their faces.
And you are stunned. I think it's time for initiative.
Okay.
Should I still roll even though I'm stunned?
Yeah, because at the end of your turn, you can roll again.
That makes sense.
I got a 1. I mean, I got a 4, but I rolled a nat 1, so...
Nat 1's don't care for initiative, though.
I've got an 18 plus 2.
I got a 14 total.
17 total.
And 24 for me.
Someone didn't number out his initiative table yet. Failed his own initiative. Okay, so looking through, I see a 14 for Dax. I see a 17 for Zenosha. Because of Final Fantasy VII, I'm remembering Zenosha's name the best right now. It's spelled entirely differently. And I think you used a random name generator.
Yeah, I used the one built into D&D Beyond. I clicked it 2 or 3 times and thought, this one sounds nice, I'll keep it.
But at the same time, I love that it's also phonetically something from Final Fantasy VII. Okay. And a 24 for Niri. And Chroma got a 4. And what did Zax get?
The dice is 18. I have plus 2 initiative.
I should roll for the Lieutenant Commander and the tree.
You know, it's not going to be my headcanon that when there is a mushroom growing on her nose, it's from this encounter.
Oh, my.
I'm okay with this. This makes total sense. I love that it works. Okay, so, Niri, you're up.
I'm going to use my action to blow the Horn of Heroism.
And what does that do?
It, hang on, I got to count.
Increases our haste by 45%.
No.
I got that reference.
It grants 4 temporary hit points and immunity to being frightened to everybody in the party, including the GIF.
4, okay.
Okay. Do you use a bonus action or no?
I do not have any bonus actions that I can use. So.
Okay. So we're moving on to Zax. I just don't want to cut someone off before they...
Yeah.
Moving up to Zax.
All right, so I'm going to rage because this tree attacked my friend, and I don't like that. And I'm going to hit it with the hammer of thunderbolts as hard as I can. All right, so... Okay, I got to roll a 20. I've got a 10 on that.
Roll again, because someone's...
Yeah, right. I got an 11 that time.
So that's a 21. Okay,
plus 10, yes. 21.
Yeah. Okay. So it's
2d6 plus 10.
Plus 8.
No, 10, because she's raging.
Yeah,
oh,
raging.
Right.
Okay, I got a 4 and a 2 plus 10.
16.
Yep. Okay, and I think that's all I can do?
Well, you're young
yet. Bonus action attack, yeah.
I'm looking for a bonus action, though. Where
raging
is
a bonus
action.
Rage is a bonus action. Okay, then I'm done. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Zenosha, you may roll to not be stunned.
Do I roll another constitution save?
Yep.
You got this.
My constitution saves only plus 2.
You don't got this.
Okay. Zenosha is still just staring at this cloud of spores. Your eyes are focusing on the ones that are closest to you, and it's almost like they're doing the smallest of dances. Almost choreographed.
No.
It's kind of mesmerizing to watch. So beautiful in its own way. Moving on, Dax.
To clarify, Zenosha is stunned, not paralyzed, yes?
Yes.
Okay, then I'm not going to do what I was going to do. Cool. let's see. I am going to... Toll the Dead. So that is a DC 12 wisdom save.
That is a nat 20.
Damn!
First nat 20. Well, second nat 20 of the game. First nat 20 for me.
Okay then. That was rude. Okay.
Yeah, how dare the DM roll a nat 20?
Yeah, shame on you. That's all I can do.
We're just little. We don't get to make 3 actions around.
That's all I can do.
Okay, so next up is the oak tree. It is still screaming. It is going to attempt a slam attack.
Okay.
That's a heck of a thing to imagine.
Yeah.
Yep, it takes one of its very large limbs and swings it towards... let's see, who's it going to swing it towards? I'm going to say Zax is probably a good target because that little lizard thing just hit it with a hammer and it hurt.
Yep. good.
So that is going to be a 15.
Armor class is 14.
Okay, so it hits.
Yeah.
You are raging, so you are going to take half damage, so you only take 7 bludgeoning damage.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, but you got 4 temporary hit points.
I do.
That cuts it more than
it does. Yeah, it does. Okay. All right.
Okay. It is Lieutenant Commander Holland's turn. Let's see. What's he going to do? So many choices.
Oh, no.
Most of them horrible.
Grenade.
That's what I think he's going to do. Is that...
Well, let's see. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different things he can do. I'm going to roll a d6 because I'm not sure he knows what he wants to do. Okay, so I said he's got 5 things he can do, so I'm going to roll. So I rolled a d6. I got a 6 twice.
He's doing nothing.
That's a third turn. 6. I should be rolling damage.
That's his turn. Move on.
What a fascinating creature. I can't decide what to do to it.
He says, well, it's obviously a tree. The best thing to do with a tree is to cut it down. So he pulls out a long sword and he goes to take a swing at it.
At least it's not a grenade.
Yet. So that is 19. That's going to hit. He does 8 slashing damage. Actually, no, he's using this two-handed. So that's going to be 9 slashing damage to the tree. That was, by the way, the wrong thing for him to do. If we're going for max damage. Next up is Chroma.
I was going from, I don't want Zenosha in the blast radius.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chroma, you're up.
This is a really, really rude tree, and it needs to stop right now. And Chroma's, and the little circle on Chroma's glove lights up again, and she points it at a stick and attempts to shoot said stick at the tree at, well, a speed that would do 3d8 bludgeoning damage if it hits. The tree thing needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
I was going to say, you're throwing a stick at a tree and doing 3d8 points of damage. That's a supersonic stick at this point.
To be fair, the stick is also going to take 3d8 points of damage, so it may soon be a lot of splinters.
It's a former stick, an ex-stick.
Yes.
I seem to have acquired a supply of toothpicks.
Trees can fear Chroma stick, and machines can fear my stick.
There you go.
So we have a stick for every situation.
And everything can fear my grenades, because they should.
So you said dexterity save?
Yep.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that makes it a 9.
That
tree is not known for dexterity.
That's 14 points of bludgeoning damage to both tree and stick. I assume there are a lot of splinters around now.
Very much so. Okay. And as we hear the sound of toothpicks being made around the world... a new contender enters the field. They appear to be... Actually, I will share a picture with you.
Okay.
This is not something I've thrown at a party before. So they look like that, but in...
How big are they?
They are human-sized.
Okay.
And this particular being looks like that, except they are a more vibrant, deeper green. But they are still covered with leaves. Look like they are ready to walk down the runway as a supermodel, but they're not walking like they're on a runway as a supermodel. And they have a large pair of antlers growing out of their head. Now, these antlers have a variety of small leather pouches and containers that are tied to them. They're a convenient way to store things, apparently. Also, several lit candles. And they come forward, and they speak a few words and sort of make a shooing motion with their hands. And the tree uproots itself, and the scream sort of fizzles a bit, like it's running out of breath, and then sort of kind of grunting, and it sort of just walks away from you. At a rather staggering pace. It's sort of lopsided, but it is moving away from you now.
Oh, wow. Thank you. New friend? You seem like a new friend.
I should certainly
hope so. Great. And
I have a script to read. Hold on.
Oh.
Am I still stunned after the tree walks away?
That's a good question.
Yes, you are still temporarily stunned. It lasts up to a minute. I'll let you roll again.
18.
That's pretty good.
Ah, you finally shake off the effects of the spores. Okay. By the way, this being does appear to have some signs of age to her. There's a few smile lines, few bits of leaves that make up her hair that are gray instead of green. Just a few. She might pluck them out of vanity. Who knows? Maybe she dies. Maybe she dyes her leaves. It's a possibility. And she introduced herself as Mother Stag. Please do not think unkindly of our woods. Things were not always this way. It troubles me that good travelers should suffer in a place that they should instead find tranquil.
What caused things to be this way?
A being, once a majestic unicorn, named Banrian, has fallen under a corruption.
and it has been spreading through the forest. I and my sisters do our best to stem the tide, but sometimes it extends outward from Banrian's realm.
That sounds like what we're looking for.
It does? I thought we were looking for tech. Oh!
Yeah, I suspected as much. So, do you happen to know where this thing is? We think we know how to get it somewhere where it can stop doing damage.
Well, certainly, but... Oh, one of you appears to be injured. Come. I and my sisters have some healing ointments that we can apply, and some things that might also aid you on your journey.
I'm looking around at my fellow kobolds like, well...
I mean, she saved us from the tree. I mostly trust her. I mean,
I am not saying people. I am not saying this out loud. She's a fairy, so I don't trust her. But she's a fairy, so if we don't trust her, she's gonna murder us. So I'll go along with it.
That's rather grim.
I mean,
if one person laughed at that line, I had hoped it would be Ellie.
I appreciate it. You're much nicer than, well, and a lot less loud. Do they scream a lot?
Most do not. That particular tree we tend to call Grandfather Oak, one of the older trees in the forest. He is one of the more recent ones to succumb to corruption. We hope to find a way to stem it. If Banrian is able to be captured or killed, though it pains me to suggest that, we might be able to cure the corruption, and Grandfather Oak would again be the magnificent treant that he used to be.
Is the mushroom symptomatic of the corruption?
It is not common, but Grandfather Oak is not the first.
Mushrooms and moss are good at popping up where other things can't.
I appreciate the Archbeth in chat. I always appreciate Archbeth in chat. I really do. But this last line, Grandfather Oak screams at clouds, shakes cane. Archbeth still has inspiration from the previous campaigns and cannot get more. Okay. You follow along?
Yes.
Yep. And she's got the hooves.
No, she's got feet.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Those sure look like hooves in the illustration.
No, it's... I think whoever did that character art for the Dryad model did, in fact, look at a supermodel posing for the source art.
It's kind of got that look.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, next script for me to read. Within a clearing, three massive trees have grown together, their trunks entwining overhead. A hollow between them forms the interior of a dwelling, with thick branches acting as its roof. Dense patches of mushrooms grow in garden plots around this unique domicile. Our cottage, Mother Stag says. Our dryad trees. Some of the last of these woods haven't yet succumbed to Banrian's corruption. And she opens a door in the front of this... I don't want to call it a tree house because it's on the ground, but it is a house made of trees. Yes. So the wording is still accurate, even if misleading at the same time.
Right.
But she invites you into the ground level treehouse.
It's kind of like a kobold warren, I guess. Okay.
It's a pre-log cabin.
If you say that out loud, Mother Stag is going to make a face at you. You do not cut down a dryad tree and have the dryad be happy.
Think of the firewood.
No.
I'm kidding. It's characters of Melora follower. This is Chris talking.
Okay. So there are two other dryads inside. One of them has streaks of white that go right up the center of their hair. And she's introduced as Mother Skunk. And... there is a rocking chair in the corner with a dryad who is squinting a lot and sort of sniffs the air. It says, oh, we have company.
Hello.
Oh, you sound quite low to the ground. Hello there. Hello there, little one. I'm Mother Mole.
That's Mother Mole.
Mm.
Yes.
Can I do a quick Eyes of the Grave?
What does that do?
It just lets me detect undead presence within 60 feet.
Oh, sure. You do not detect any undead anywhere near you.
Okay.
And Mother Stag points out that while dryads don't always have additional attributes, they have lived for so long in these woods that they've started to acquire some of the attributes of the surrounding wildlife. And they've had them long enough that the other residents of the forest call them by these attributes. And also, yes, she knows it's weird that she's a female being and stags are male, and she has stag attributes, but she just sort of shrugs it off. Like, it is what it is. I was telling our small friends here, and you are kobolds, yes?
Yep.
We are.
Ah, wonderful. Wonderful. Kobolds were not always welcome in these woods, but apparently a large number of them have taken to, within a day's journey of here, being very kind towards the forest, so we are of a different opinion towards your kind.
Well, that's good.
Yes. I was just telling the kobolds that we were hoping there might be some way of aiding Banrian and curing their corruption.
Well, we can certainly look into it.
Well, we'll need the bridle for that.
The what?
The bridle. Mother Mole, we are all right here. You do not need to yell. We've been working on it for a while now. Of course, none of us are strong enough or can travel far enough to put it on Banrian, but it should work to get Banrian under control for us to try to cure the corruption.
We'll take it.
Right. Well, here you go. And Mother Mole hobbles across to a cabinet and is then gently directed to a different cabinet by Mother Skunk. And she opens up a drawer and pulls out what looks to be a horse bridle of some kind. Now, we had to change it a bit, so normally these will work on any beast, but Banrian isn't a beast. Banrian's a unicorn. Much more powerful. So we've modified it, and now it won't work on any beast. It'll only work on Banrian.
So we just got to put it on him?
Yep. Simple as that. Well,
Well,
if you can get around the horn.
Yeah.
And the innate magical abilities.
Tell me more about those.
And the legions of corrupted fey creatures that also happen to be in Banrian's neck of the woods. You'll have to get around those, too.
By legions, do you mean,
We can handle them.
Like, legions or, like...
Like, we don't have a way of counting how many there are, because we're not going anywhere near there.
I think this just became a lot harder.
So for the record, because I didn't say this on the recording yet, this adventure that I have purchased starts with level 5.
Oh, no.
And we started with level 1.
We did, yeah.
Yes. I am trying to make it easier in some ways. You weren't actually fighting a tree, and you were fighting an awakened tree, which was still a higher level than I should throw at level 1s.
Probably.
But you have enough magical items that if I let it go another round, you would have killed it. Maybe with one death save, but that's it.
Wow.
You got 2 people who can heal. You're okay. And one of you's got healing potions. Yeah.
I have healing spells, too.
Well, that's what I was... Oh, you got 3 people who can heal then. Mother Skunk also pulls out some circlets that appear to be made out of woven vines and says, here, you'll probably need these too.
What do these do?
Oh, these are crowns of the forest.
What do these do?
Well, did you see the sunbeams?
Yeah.
Did you walk through any of them?
I'm not sure. Okay, no, we did not.
Ah, well, I'd say it's bad luck to walk through them, but that would imply that luck was a thing here. No, those sunbeams are traps. If you walk through them, bad things happen. But these'll help you walk around them.
Good to know.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll have how many of you are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you. Ah, yeah, we...
If you're one short, the hippo is good on his own.
Right, there are 6 of us.
So, for the record, Lieutenant Commander Hollins is waiting outside because he literally could not fit through the door.
Oh, yeah.
So Mother Skunk is correct in saying that there's five of you because five of you walked through.
Okay.
There's a sixth. He's waiting outside.
Oh. Mother Skunk walks over, looks out the door. Ooh, you're a tall one. Okay. Well, could you lean forward a little bit? Yes, thank you. Measurement? Okay. Oh, you have a very big head. Yes, yes, that's a compliment. Okay. Yes,
more ways than one.
I can make one of those. I can make one of those. I do have a sixth, but it's the wrong size. So if you give me a moment, all of you rest. Mother Stag, could you pour some stew for them? That might be useful. Okay, let me just sit down and... Oh, where's my crochet kit? Put it
I love that she's crocheting vines.
Yes. You have no idea how that works, but apparently she's able to crochet vines into a crown. And Mother Stag does pour out some soup for each of you in wooden bowls. The wood does not appear to be carved, but they are wooden bowls.
Okay.
And she sets out a big ladle of soup for each of you in each of the bowls. It is up to you whether or not you partake.
Does it smell good?
It smells delicious.
Zenosha's probably going to eat some.
By the way, it's mushroom soup.
Zenosha's definitely going for some. I, as the player, know a few stories about why this may be a bad idea. I don't think she does.
Okay.
With the information she has and how much she trusts these guys so far, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to try to roll an insight check.
Okay. For the stew?
Yeah.
Insight check on the stew.
Well, what are you trying to uncover with your roll?
They're giving us things they know would be safe to eat, right?
Well, considering that Mother Mole is currently chowing down on her own cup of stew, either they're immune to whatever's in it, or there's nothing in it that can hurt you.
Yeah, but that's not the biggest danger when fairies give you food.
Well, true.
Mm.
Okay, so with a 15, you recognize this recipe of mushroom stew, actually. Or you think you do. Apparently, you make it by taking a wooden bowl and combining a brown mushroom with a red mushroom. That's not true. But no, the stew doesn't look like it's threatening in any way.
Okay, I'll eat some.
Okay. Everyone who has some stew has the equivalent of a long rest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'll eat some stew.
Yep, same. Everybody else has eaten it. They seem to have lived, so. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my, you were quite hungry. Seconds, anyone?
Okay.
We've got plenty. We usually make enough for a week at a time.
I'm quite all right. Thank you, though.
Okay. You are more than welcome.
Unfortunately, that means we all actually have four fewer hit points.
Yes,
well, mine already are gone. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, I should hit long rest, yes?
I will say that you have the equivalent of a long rest. So, when you press the button, if you didn't lose your four temporary hit points, you may add them back in.
Okay.
The time has not elapsed, but you're healed up and you get your spell slots back.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, and Zax is going to eat a second bowl of soup, because barbarian.
Yep.
Mother Mole says, we usually make a bunch in case any forest creatures get, you know, hit by something with corruption.
Yeah, it's good.
Gets them back on the right road. And it's vegan, because, you know, some of them are vegetarians.
Oh.
Neri's rationale is, she still doesn't trust the fairies, but if they wanted us incapacitated, they would have just let the tree incapacitate us.
I mean, it did a pretty good job on one of you.
Yeah.
Mother Stag says, well, if you've all had plenty of stew, you have the crowns, and here's a large crown for your friend outside as well. Thank you so much, Mother Skunk. No problem, dearie. Okay, and you should probably give you directions for how to get to Banrian. Does any of you have a map?
One of us does. Who's got it?
Who's got the map?
I've got the map.
It's Ellie. Yeah.
I've got the map, and I'll display it.
Ah. Oh, so they're calling this area the Shruglands now. That's new.
Very new.
Well,
it's the Cobalt thing. We like to rename things.
The only constant.
Someone drew a shrug, so We figure that's what the person who drew it meant.
Okay, well, if you travel through here, then you'll reach a very large canyon. There'll be a bridge of sorts here. It's very treacherous. Larger beings, I wouldn't risk it myself. I'm afraid it would collapse, but you're quite small. You'd probably be able to do it.
So we all agree the hippo goes last.
I'm okay with that.
Or maybe he goes on the carpet and we go on the bridge?
That might be a possibility. In any case, as you get across, however you get across, everything on the other side of that is Banrian's territory. We dare not go there.
He'd skewer us!
Yes. Yes, you are a bit too joyful about yelling that out, Mother Mole.
Just joyful that it's not happening?
Fair point.
Well, we'll do our best not to get skewered either.
That's good. And if you could not kill Banrian, that would be for the best. She was once a very majestic unicorn before the corruption took hold. It would be very good to return her to her former glory.
We'll do what we can.
I am now very happy my stick has a stun setting.
We'll do our best. What?
I mean, if it does get to the point where if we are going to die because we're too busy trying to not kill her, the unicorn, can we kill her?
If you must do what you must do,
we I mean, I'm usually one eventually. I'm usually all for protecting nature, but it's also, you know, staying alive is also kind of good.
The corruption has led to unfortunate ends for many beings. If one death, regrettable as it is necessary for the corruption to end, then regrettably, it would be for the best.
Good to know.
But don't let that be your first choice. It's why we have the bridal.
No, fair enough. I believe
we'll try to bring her back alive.
The DM gets that reference. Okay. They decide to offer you a guide to get you there. And so they call out for their friend Olator. And as soon as they say, Olator, you there? There's someone right on the other side of the door.
Yeah! I was talking to the big hippo person. Oh, he says it's offensive to call him a big hippo person, in case you were wondering. That is what the big hippo person said. Yeah, he's repeating that it's very offensive, and I shouldn't do it.
If he can get on my carpet without breaking it, I will stop calling him that.
Okay. Well, he's hearing our whole conversation, so I don't think I need to repeat that. And the door opens, and you see a person who the top half looks like a human, the bottom half looks like a goat. They've got some horns sticking out of their head. And they're satyr. Also...
That's not a tiefling, right?
I don't know.
No,
I'm a
satyr.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think tieflings like have human legs.
He's also as tall as you.
Well, maybe there are tiefling gnomes.
It's officially a running gag now that we don't know what tiefling feet look like.
I'm not a tiefling. I'm a satyr. I mean, they got horns too. Most of them don't have hooves. They also have demonic origins or fiendish origins in general. I don't. I'm a nature guy.
All right.
It's all right. I know an undead kobold who's an emissary.
And to be fair, if you were fiendish to those people that, you know, what's around them, fiendish is nature to them. It's all very natural to them.
Okay.
Yeah, so whatever's corrupting the forest might be fiendish? Not sure. I want to follow that train of thought to its natural conclusion.
No, it's like, to us it's not natural, it's not nature, but to them it is.
I missed your name, friend.
Oh, I'm Olator. Pleased to meet you.
I'm Chroma. Right,
can we call you Ollie?
Are you going to try to save the corruption by defeating Banrian?
Yes.
That's the plan.
Ah, yeah, then sure. By the way, it wasn't a lucky guess I was listening through the door the entire time.
We assumed, dude.
Okay. Right, so
give the way, Ollie.
Okay.
Onward to do helpful things.
Woo, off we go.
By the way, Ollie is also wearing a crown of the forest.
Oh, good.
Good.
Yes. So, y'all got your crowns on? Yeah, these are really helpful. Hey, check out the sunbeam here. You see it right here?
Uh-huh.
Check this out. And he walks towards the sunbeam, and it moves out of his way.
Whoa.
And when he's passed, it moves back.
Does that work on normal sunbeams, too?
Because,
see, we're photosensitive, and...
We can live in bright light, but we don't really like it.
Nope. Only works on the ones that do really bad things if you get in them. Like, normally, these sunbeams, moonbeams if it's nighttime, full moon, like, new moons are very nice here because that's the only time we don't see any of this stuff. But they'll actually move to hit you if you're new. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can't even walk past them. But with these crowns, just go around you. Really useful.
Wow.
Yep. It's a good thing the DM didn't have you hit one of these sunbeams instead of encountering your Grandfather Oak. Because that wouldn't have been so good. Constitution saves us. Far as the day is long.
Ollie, Commander, let's get going.
Lieutenant Commander. Okay.
Lieutenant Commander.
Okay. And the rest of your journey is actually pretty non-eventful, except for the part where Lieutenant Commander Hollins attempts to try to step into a sunbeam on purpose and ends up doing some type of dance.
No, don't do that.
Huh. Cha-cha-cha.
I was thinking hokey pokey.
I'm going to cha-cha back now. It's just
You're
a hop to the left.
Actually a good dancer.
Actually, I'm
going to
roll a performance check.
Maybe he's not.
That's a 15.
Maybe Krova just thinks he is.
Right.
Yeah, Krova would have said that whether he was a good dancer or not.
She's very encouraging.
He's got a charisma of +1, and I rolled a 15. So he pulls it off. You think he might do better with one of those dances that involves, like, squatting low to the ground and kicking a lot. But, you know, it is what it is. That or the ogre dance from World of Warcraft, but probably not. That's not a good dance, no matter who's doing it.
I don't remember that one. That's probably for the best.
It's the same as the Boomkin dance.
Oh, okay.
Chris Farley doing the Chippendales dance from SNL. Yes.
Okay, that I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, right. Not a good dance. Mm-hmm. Not a good dance by anyone. So you get to a point off in the woods the wood stops because there's a cliff face. And trees don't grow in air very well. If you look over the edge, you can see the bottom's maybe about 100 feet down. Not the best place to go cliff diving.
Definitely not a croissant.
It might be crescent-shaped. You can't see the edges. It goes off to the left. It goes off to the right. Now, the area you've been led to by Ollie, who on the way here was telling you about how he has this plan for when the corruption's all gone, he's going to go into his own business. He's thinking of selling discount items at an outlet. And that's a reference that not everyone's going to get, but the DM is pleased with himself.
I imagine.
Yes. But he stops partway through the story where he's listing all the things he's going to sell. You may roll for boredom, but that's a you thing. The bridge across appears to be a very tall tower that has fallen over. And you're surprised it's as intact as it is. It has maintained its cylindrical shape for the most part. The upper roof of it has broken off and rolled to the side and has become overgrown. This fell a very long time ago. And the floors inside the tower were probably made of wood or something else that could decay over time because it's mostly a hollow tube. But you see some elements around that make you think that it was a clock tower when it stood tall.
Ooh.
And it extends the entire length of the chasm to the other side. And Ollie says, right, so you're here. And unicorns can teleport, so... Just be ready for that.
I'm always ready for teleporting.
And because of that, and because I'm not ready to fight a unicorn, I'm gonna go now.
Okay, have a good day.
Right.
Thanks for bringing us here.
By the way, by the time you finish saying have a good day, he has double moved away from you.
Oh. We'll try not to die.
Good idea.
So Dex, how do you feel about being a shuttle?
I get the carpet out.
It's either that or we go across that tower, and I have a feeling that tower is 1 footstep away from falling into the chasm.
As you say that, one brick of the tower falls into the cabin, the chasm.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's not going to work.
I don't think we're going to probably have to do it.
We're probably going to have to do multiple trips.
Yeah.
We can get the kobolds over in one, and then I'll pick up Mr. Hippo.
All right.
Okay. So you get all the kobolds onto the carpet and fly across?
Mm-hmm.
Can we access the base? Like, if we wanted to, could we go through the tower?
You could make the attempt, yes.
Okay.
As you look through the tower, it's hard to look all the way down because it's just so long. But It looks like it's a hollow tower all the way to the end.
Like, you want me to magic carpet ride us through this tower and see what's under?
No. I want to get inside to where it's dark and then polymorph myself into a bat.
Oh,
you have that magic item.
Yeah, she does.
And then fly the rest of the way through and see if there's anything interesting in there.
Okay.
Hopefully it's all dark.
So that's what you're going to do?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the tower is intact enough that while there are spots where sunlight comes through a little bit, it's not as bad as one would expect. And you fly all the way across. There's some spots where you think it might be a little tricky, but you're fairly certain that someone of a kobold's weight could walk through here. You don't have the slightest faith in Lieutenant Commander Hollins making it through this tower.
Yeah.
Because from your interactions with him, you're pretty sure he'd say, "Oh, this appears to be a loose brick of some kind." Yeah. As he pulled the brick out from under his feet. And as soon as you fly through to the other end of the tower, you can see the base that it broke off of. That is standing up high enough that, like, the ground floor is still there, it looks like. And you see what could be described as a unicorn if Lovecraft described it.
Oh, no.
Yes. It has glowing red eyes. The horn appears to be made of something black and jagged. You want to say metal, but you don't know. Its mane writhes in a wind that is not blowing, and it looks directly at you and snorts. And when it snorts, bits of flame come out of its nose. And that's where we're going to end it tonight.
Oh my gosh.
I thought we might.
Thank you, everyone, for playing.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Sorry?
Go ahead.
You what?
No, go ahead. I forgot what I was going to say.
I cut off several people. But let's get some plugs in real quick. Chris has a podcast, AzeroCTC.com. Ellie runs a social network, Elec.xyz. Eo's mom writes books, Elizabeth-McCoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast, BookofJen.net. We have a Patreon, Patreon.com/CogwheelGaming. Help us keep the lights on. You can be an awesome patron like Alice and Chris and Cindy and Ellie and Eric. And we gotta go because it's late in Scotland. It's 4 a.m. Until next time. Yeah, so I don't really want to be impaled. So I'm just gonna go. Have fun. I'm gonna be over here, really far away from you. Call if you need me. Don't need me. I'll be over here. Good night.
Happy holidays.
Good night.